Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Ken Hodge, co-producer of Hodge to Hodge Podcast Radio, with our premier podcast, The Attic. As always, I've got all my brothers and sisters with me. I'm feeling very, very uplifted and happy about this evening. Excuse me. And I think we've got an excellent show for you. We're going to do a quick roll call, and then we'll get right into the subject of what tonight's topics are about. Baby sis, are you with us?
I'm here, my brother.
Baby boy, are you with us?
Present.
Brother Messenger?
Yes, I am. I'm here, my brother.
And who is that, Nurse Carmen?
Yes, hello.
Okay, hello. Okay, so we got the cast on board, and tonight, it's one of those topics that's going to touch a little hard. We're going to do a spinoff tonight from the MSNBC show on TV last night dealing with race in America. And I just want to start off by saying we've come a long way, but we've got a long way to go. We really do. I think that some of the basic topics that we want to touch on tonight is why. You know, I mean, really, we got to ask ourselves why. Why is it that no matter what it is I do, I cannot be looked at as equal by white America? No matter what I do or how I present myself, I could be the most educated, the most articulate, but to them on the inside, I'm sorry, I'm still a nigga. To most of white America, Barack Obama is still a nigga. Now, let me tell you, if we call him like my nigga, then that's cool. But I'm saying, for real, from white America's perspective, no matter what we do, they have decided. And a lot of that decision they've made is not even conscious. It's not. It's just a part of how they're raised and brought up. And so when I say that, and some of the points we make tonight, I assure you, this isn't a racist podcast. This is just a podcast about trying to become equal. Now, you know, I like to say, I'm not asking to get even. I'm just saying, if you make it even. I don't want any handouts. If you just make it, if you level the playing field, then all have the same opportunity to the pursuit of happiness. Okay, let's get into the show. Last night they came out with a couple of topics, and one of them was making assumptions about a person based on race. Making assumptions about a person based on race. You don't know anything about me other than the color of my skin is different from yours, but there are assumptions that are already made, and sometimes unbeknownst to you, you are making these decisions, and I'm talking to white America now. So is anybody out there can give me some examples? Even if you want to go for what was the show was about last night of some situations in life where you've been, assumptions have been made about you because of the color of your skin? Nobody? Well, I'll tell you one.
Well,
go ahead, baby sis.
No, I was just going to say in regards to the show last night when they were talking about, you know, making assumptions, they were talking on an incident that had just happened, well, several different incidents, but one in particular that had just happened, and I think we had spoke on it on our podcast in regards to barbecuing, that particular incident where they
yeah.
spoke on that as far as when the lady there had called the police on the gentleman that was barbecuing.
And
I think that was a lot to do with making an assumption based on race.
And you know what? On the last week's podcast, baby sis, we talked about that, and I think I put that question out there. So what do we do? How do we make that a crime? Because right now, calling the police to report what, again, you're going to misinterpret, but calling the police to report that, it's not a crime. But now they're starting to look into the possibilities of when you make these racist calls, now there may be some kind of a fine or penalty attached to it. But, you know, that was just crazy, though, because I am in a barbecue because I am a black woman sleeping in a common area in a dorm. If somebody calls the police, again, I understand the police responding. But when you get there, come on, Mr. Police Officer, when you get there and now you understand the situation, it's okay for you to say, hey, look, both of y'all just have a nice evening, and I'm leaving. There's no need for you to start handcuffing and arresting people.
And also, it should also be known that when you call police, you shouldn't be calling them really unless you're looking for an armed response. You know, and that's a lot of the way it's looked at as well. And I think that was even brought up on the on the show.
That's crazy. Every time I call the police, I'm expecting an armed response. Really? I mean, honestly, no. Go ahead, bro.
The job of a police officer is to protect and serve. So to automatically come with an armed response is just not totally what your job is for. You're supposed to serve as well as protect. And if you're just coming to protect, who are you really protecting? You're protecting sometime the person that's in the wrong just because of the color of their skin.
And that's why they're saying making assumptions based on race.
Yeah, and like I said, and we have these conversations and we talk about this, but I am a firm believer, and I do mean this, a firm believer, that you can't talk race with non-black people, and they get the full understanding of what it is that you're talking about. They can never understand that. I'm sorry, I don't care, and that's a very broad statement that I'm making. They can never understand what we really mean. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying there's not a lot of white individuals out there that are trying to get equality and justice. And, for example, I like to point to, I call up my brother Tom Wise. Now, I thought, again, it is a black and white issue, but it's not a black versus white issue. Let's be very clear about that. It's a black and white issue, but it's not a black versus white issue. And one of the points that Brother Tom made last night was, I just thought was just very profound. He said, when we talk about to white America about racism, of course they understand it. But if you're not on the receiving end of that, you are never going to get the real gist of that. And he made a statement. He said, to white America, my discomfort is more important than your life.
Amen.
My discomfort is more important than your life. So in other words, if I'm a upper class Caucasian and you live next door to me, and you play your music loud to the point that it bothers me, and I'm using a very basic example. I feel okay if the police come and actually take your life because your life was making me uncomfortable, even though you had full right to do whatever it was that you were doing. Now, again, well, that's a – go ahead, talk to me, bro.
Yeah, I was going to say part of the problem is they've got to get over this fear. See, it was put into their minds as well as some other stuff with regards to the black person, and they just think of us as just violent people. And I understand why some of them come to that conclusion, because when you live in a city, town, or whatever, where it's nothing but white people, the only thing that you see on the news, because that's the only time you're really going to see a person of color, is you're seeing something negative. So you automatically mm-hmm. just start assuming that all people of color carry that same negative characteristics. And this is part of the reason why we've got to get away from this. We've come a long way. We still got so much to go because there's
Brother
still
Messenger,
so
your
much.
Your audio is really messing up, Brother Messenger.
I'll be back.
All right. I'm sorry. Go ahead. So some of my other callers out there, what are your thoughts on if you saw that episode or just the topic in general?
Well, I wanted to say that there was a particular segment on there where they had someone that they were interviewing, and she was talking about how there was a situation where her purse was near three other women. I don't
yes.
know if anybody saw that.
Yeah.
And they were white women, and she went to go reach for her purse, and they wouldn't release her purse until she checked with all the other women that were present to make sure it wasn't theirs first before she would let her purse go. I thought that was just mind-blowing to me.
Let me tell you
something. That they would not give her back her purse until she cleared it with everyone there first to make sure it wasn't theirs.
You know, and let me give you a real world example of assumptions based on race. When I first went to work for the post office, I was a letter carrier. I delivered the mail, but I delivered mail in a really, 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 really white section of Jersey, Pequannock area. Now, let me say this to you, and I'm not exaggerating. I drove a Cadillac Seville to work, because that was my car, because working for the post office, I worked for ITT. My shoes, I was just out of the military, so I wore patent leather shoes. Yeah, it killed my feet, but his brother was looking smooth, though. You know what I'm saying? I'm drawing this out because I want you to understand the story. I kept my uniform in and out of the cleaners. I never washed them. Again, when I first went to work for the post office, I had just gotten out of the Marine Corps, so I was still just a little different, okay? But I said all that just to say, every time I got out of my vehicle to go up to somebody's house to deliver packages, I still remember seeing people running the house, locking the door, and I could hear chain locks going on the door. I still remember that. And that's why I went through the whole thing about how I dressed and my mannerisms. I mean, trust me, I wore a bow tie with my uniform. So, I mean, I'm just saying that's how sharp I kept my uniform. But when I went up to those houses to deliver packages, I worked in Pequannock about 8 months. 8 months before it got to the point where they understood that. 8 months, not 8 weeks, before it got to the point where they understood that I'm the mailman. And then it got to the point where, and I'm not joking, and again, this is what I'm saying, sometimes hate turns to love. It went from them locking the door, running away from me, to they would start leaving a little lunch and iced tea out for me.
It took eight months.
And let me say this
to
you. Had I not been working for the post office, see, that would have lasted about one day. But I knew I needed a job. So, again, it was just that that latent racist stuff that they did. Nobody said anything to my face or things like that. They did it to my face, but it made me understand I had to eat that. because if I would respond in any way, now that's my job. So it made me eat it, but I tell you, we stayed there because I needed to work. And after time, man, it went from, again, running in the house, locking doors, to leaving lunch and iced tea on the back deck for me. So, I mean, we can change. This is slow, and that's 8 months in one area. And watch this. That's 8 months of them seeing me every day. So I just say that as an example of we can change, but I promise you, man, it's going to be a long time before this nation changes, man. And I don't care how mad anybody gets about the topic or whatever. As a black American, it appears that everything in this country is pretty much set up not in your favor. Whatever advantages black America has made, usually it wasn't set up for them. Welfare. Welfare is one of the biggest government, they like to call it government handouts, there is now. But welfare wasn't designed for black people. But we are smart people. So even though welfare was designed to help that middle class poor during the Depression, we understood and learned the game. And then, as with everything else, we took the game to a different level. And I didn't say that was a good level, but we took it to a different level. But again, that wasn't designed for us. So we live in a nation where we're, again, from the beginning, we were not thought of as humans. We were not thought of as equals. And it is a lot more subliminal now, but that still remains. I think that still remains.
It does remain, and it's not. And it isn't going to change as long as I was saying earlier, as long as we continue to live apart and separate, we see each other passing. Because I still think, to a certain degree, it's ridiculous. I'm in my car, okay? And thanks be to God, I've got a decent car, and I'll pull up next to somebody in a car 20 times worse than mine. And guess what they do?
Lock
their door. Not only that, sometimes I pull up to people and I just say hi, and you would have think I had a gun in my hand. The way that they look, why? All I'm doing is saying hi. You got your window up, my window is up, so it's not like we're having direct communication. I'm just waving, saying hello. And they give you that look as if I say hello, you're going to rob me. So I'm going to turn my head and act like you're not there, and then I'm going to pull off. What is that all about? How can we get along if we think that we're so separate? We've got to understand that we're all in this together.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. And again, the sooner we understand that, because we don't now. In fact, somebody got some background noise there. The only reason I even have any hope or faith that racism will end in North America is because of interracial dating. It's going to get to the point where, again, we're all going to be not all, but predominantly going to be a mixed gender, as we are now. But now we're going to be mixed with a little bit of that black chromosome in you. And again, that's what I believe is going to start to set things equal. Because I got to tell you, and this might sound very, very strange, so please listen. If I was a white male in North America, there is no way I would want to trade or to be a black male. It doesn't mean I treat you bad, but the system is not set up for you. So I don't care who you are. I don't want to trade places with you. And when it comes to white America making rules and regulations that should bring us more on an equal level, well, again, the rules and regulations are already there. All you got to do is follow them. Just make them apply to everybody. See, we got a good blueprint. The blueprint, I think, can be the sincere fabric of the nation. But the understanding of the blueprint is wrong. When we say all men are created equal, that means everybody.
Amen.
And if we can get to that point, again, we don't need, again, like I heard the minister say one time, if the Constitution of the United States was authentic, we wouldn't need Bill of Rights. But again, if we would just apply the rules and regulations that are currently on the book. Now, again, as with time, we need to change some of them. But we, our nation would be fine. But for white America to give up authority and power, I got to tell you, I understand your reluctance to do that. It don't make it right, but I understand.
What baffles me so much with regards to this is 90% of those that carry this racial bigotry and stuff, they all claim to be under some form of religion. And I'm not turning this into one of my messages, but I'm just trying to understand how we can all believe and trust in God, but then soon as we turn around, we look at other people different when every word is telling us how we are all one.
Yeah. Well, you know, again, that whole subject there, well, we know that when we're talking about being equal and being having equal rights to everything, equal rights to everything. Well, we know that the Bible is not going to be a good guide that's going to get us there for that. But in fact, I really don't even want to touch that. But I understand. But I wish I could sit down and just have a heart to heart nation conversation. And again, I mean, you know, now like to say to white people, listen. And again, just because I'm saying white people, don't take that negative. I like to say, tell me what it is about you that make you scared of me. Tell me what it is about me that make you not like me. And let's see what we can get some dialogue on here. I mean, really, tell me what it is. And again, a lot of it is, you know, we say growing up, parents don't teach racism. Well, you know, but here's the thing. Growing up in my household, most of the people who came to my house, who visited my parents, were black. The only people who, you got to remember now, back in the day, we didn't have the internet and pay by email. Remember when the bill collectors used to come to your house and knock on your door? Those were the white people who came to my house. So, again, nobody's teaching me racism. Nobody's teaching me anything. But here's what my culture exposes me to. All my parents' friends were black. And anytime somebody white came to my house, it was a bill collector. Now, again, it stayed like that for a while. And then as we got, you know, more and more, we got older, then my mother started having white friends come to the house. And so, again, as that takes place, you don't have to tell me about racism. I'm looking at your actions. So without mom saying anything to us about understanding anything, the fact that I see my mother's white friend, in fact, they were union organizers. You remember when mommy worked with Mark, organizing union?
Yeah,
thermal electric. Yeah, but again, but now I'm starting to see my mother with white people. So that tells me a different thing without saying a word. So only reason why I say that is when white America is raised not around black people, again, the images they get are the images that they begin to build on, and most of those images are so false, so wrong.
I'm not a racist.
They need to. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But I'm not a racist. But I might say things that sound racist. And with that being said, from a child, when you're white and you're born, you tend to go as your parents go. You hear things what your parents say. You know what I'm saying? And eventually you act on that. And once again, black people are portrayed as the worst thing in this world, all around this world. That's why, as a people, we get treated like that. Even in Latin countries. Even in Latin countries, they got racism amongst themselves. That white-looking Spanish person looks down on that darker skin Spanish person. That goes all the way down to the Dominican and Puerto Rican. That's like the worst of the worst to them.
Well, again, I mean,
my thing is, it's from a kid. You hear certain things, you might not act on them, because when you're a kid, all kids get along. But as you grow up, that tends to start to come out. And the older you get, the more it comes out.
Hey, we got a new caller.
You had bad incidents, you know, going through life with a particular race, and
yes,
it's the way they portray you on TV, on the news. They go right past that businessman, that black man with the suit on, and go right to the black man with the plastic bag on his head. And let him explain what went down.
Hey, Carter from New Jersey. Welcome aboard.
Hey, how you doing? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, I've been studying racism and diversity for over 6 years, okay? And, I mean,
okay,
the reality is racism is never going to go away because there's so many differences among race groups.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. I can agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, if you study crime rates, there's huge differences in crime. So, I mean, like, look at Detroit. All the white people moved out of Detroit, for example, and Baltimore, right?
Right.
No.
So, yeah. Okay, okay, what percentage... what percentage of Detroit is now black American?
I'm not sure.
It's around 83%.
Oh, okay.
So
all right, okay.
If living around black people is so awesome and diversity is so great, why did all the white people move away? Can I ask you that?
Yes.
Yeah.
They moved away because they didn't want to be around black people. And I mean, again,
yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. White people, I'm white, so I talk to white people privately.
I
we don't want to live around black crime. Let's be honest here.
Well, what about
crime.
White
okay,
crime?
Now, black crime, if you study black crime, it is so high, it will shock the crap out of you. Have you, studied black crime rates?
But what you're not paying attention to, though, is they record and they have on record all the black crime. But that same black crime is being created by the white person as well. But that crime goes because they have the money to afford.
How are white people creating black crime? Can you explain that to me?
No. I'm saying that white people create white crime as well. But that is in the
every race has crime. Every race has crime, but some races have a lot more of it than others, sir.
Yeah, they have a lot
it's
more than others.
It's statistically impossible. It's statistically impossible because there's more of you than there are of us, so how is that even a probability that we have more crime than you do?
Well, for example,
it's statistically impossible.
Hold on. No, let me explain. Blacks are 13% of the population. Yet they're committing almost 60%. Yet they're committing almost 60% of the murders in America.
No, we're being arrested at higher rates. We're being arrested and convicted and tried at higher rates.
Yeah.
That's
the
difference.
Have you seen the witnesses? Yeah, the witness reports line up exactly with black crime rates. So you can't just blame the police.
Witness reports? I don't understand what you're saying. What are you saying? What witness reports?
I'm saying that.
What are witness reports?
Yeah, witness reports.
There's a statistical analysis on witness reports? There's data on witness reports? Where are they?
Hold on. Are you actually telling me that black people have low crime? Is that what you're telling me?
No, I'm asking you a question. Where are these witness reports that you're quoting?
Hey, hold on one second.
Hold on.
Human encyclopedia. Everybody take a breath. Everybody take a deep breath for a second. All right? Everybody take a deep breath.
I mean, it just amazes me why black people wonder why people are racist when you look at your neighborhoods and the way they are.
I don't wonder. Trust me, I don't wonder. History has taught me a long time ago why.
No, I don't wonder either. I don't wonder
throughout
either.
My whole life,
I
don't wonder.
I would never move my kids, my family to a black neighborhood. It's scary.
Nor
no
would
way.
I move them next to you. Thank you.
Well, see, you know,
yeah, but you guys want to live around
when you say,
have you ever known?
No, I don't. Actually, I don't.
Yeah, you do. You never would move back
actually,
to Africa.
I don't. No, I don't.
Then move back
to
Africa.
How do we move back to somewhere we were never from? Okay, just you say that. We're from Africa. That doesn't make us
hey, brother,
from Africa.
We're going to continue to move right on. Again, this ain't hate
That's
radio.
That's kind of like saying move back to European.
Move back to Africa. No, I'm sorry, sir. Yes, I cut your microphone off. Again, we're discussing another topic here. And no, I just didn't have any more patience for that nonsense that you were talking. So I didn't
Absolutely.
Want to hear that. So, again, we talk about, and again, when we get into the police, and that's another nice segue, Mr. Caller, to our next topic. And that is a point that was made up last night. Brought up last night was prosecutors, all right, and the police. They're the front line face of the government that carries out a lot of the expectations of unfair treatment of minority race. So we start talking about the police and reports and things. Come on now, I bet you every one of those black Americans who were gunned down unarmed by the police, they were charged with a crime. And I'm sure they're probably on that report that the caller spoke of. But so, again, there's no way under the stars that reporting is fair or any of those other allegations are fair. You got to understand the system goes deeper because now we're going to the prison system. We got prison systems that are owned by stockholders that are paid governors and that judges and district attorneys get paid to make sure what you keep people in my hotel because in that thing I call
only,
a prison it's a hotel I get paid money for that
and
people make profits
not
on
only
go ahead brother
not only I'm sorry not only that my brother but one of the things he want to call in and make his loud speech on records and stuff of that nature. But what he doesn't need statistics, but what he doesn't even understand is there's a good portion of black people that have been incarcerated for no crime at all. But they pleaded to something because they didn't have the money to afford a decent lawyer because of all kind of different circumstances. So the statistics might show one thing, but that's not the actual case. That when they had crack and cocaine, same thing, exact same thing. But because the white man does the cocaine, he gets a probation. The black man gets life in prison. Neither one of them are good, but just looking at the disparity and then to come back to statistics and people don't want to live next to each other. Well, you don't have to live next to each other, but when you see me, you don't have to treat me like I'm some kind of animal. We don't treat you like that.
But see,
so why do you feel you have to treat us?
Let me dig into the statement that the caller made. Again, and this is my point exactly. Sometimes you're not even aware how you've been indoctrinated or conditioned, for a better word. That caller said, I don't want to live in a black neighborhood. Now, what if in my neighborhood, Michael Jackson lived there, Eddie Murphy lived there? In other words, all black stars. He just made a blanket statement, I'm not going to live in a black neighborhood. It doesn't matter who's in that neighborhood. The neighborhood is what we call black. I'm not going there. Not going to give it a chance, just not going to. But you know what? That's your right to live wherever it is that you choose to live. Nobody's arguing that. The problem comes in when you and a larger group of people who think like you stop other people from moving into where you live. Now, because you chose not to live in a black neighborhood, where you think that we have to have an equal balance and black folks should choose not to live in white neighborhoods? No, we want to go to the white neighborhoods. You know why? Because you got money for the schools. Huh? Now, again, we may have to put up with some police nonsense, but the benefits maybe outweigh that for our kids. You got nicer parks. You've got programs in your city that encourage continuing education. So I understand why you don't want to go to a black neighborhood, because if you go to a black neighborhood, you already know you can call it crime, but every other aspect of your life is not going to be the same, because you understand your tax dollars don't get equally distributed to that poor neighborhood. So Now that we got that out the way, you know. But again, it's a question that we really have to sit down and talk about and ask ourselves. You know, what's really going on? Are we at a point in history or a point in our life that we've decided that I don't care what, we're not even going to try to get along?
No, because that's the way the system is built now. To where, and Donald Trump just brought that out. Now he's emboldened a bunch of people to, in a sort of sense, speak their mind. Speak the way you feel. Do what you want, you know, how you feel. Treat people
you know
the way
what,
you
though?
Want to treat them.
You know what?
But they've always felt like that. It's just
Thank
they're
you.
Saying it louder
before,
now.
But 8 years ago, it was still there. But it was kind of not so much on the back burner, but they kept it in check. Now they coming right out. When a white person see a black person and they feel like they doing something they shouldn't be doing, they calling the cops. And the cops coming, and like you said, the cops are looking at the person they call the cops on, as opposed to checking that person.
Hey, I also believe as well that it's at the point right now, as what the brother was just saying, I think it's at the point now, to be truthful, a majority, well, I won't say a majority, but there are a lot of black people that have pretty much given up and feel as if they don't stand a chance for a lot of things that are wrong. They kind of just let it go or don't, you know what I mean? Because they feel that they don't have an option to win. Even though they are in the right, they know that they can't, quote unquote, beat the system. And so a lot of this stuff that the caller was talking about, it's because the person of color has got to find another way. Because as the brother said, we can't, this system was set up for them. And the problem now, make America great again, is because they've seen us making advancements on the system that they created. And that's not part of the plan. I don't mind the 2 or 3, but I can't have 10, 12, because, you know, with them, any person of color, when you have more than 3, what do you have? You have a gang.
Crew.
And so
you
they don't want that.
Yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yes, you have that. And so this is why, this is that talk about make America great, and this is what this is all about. And they're speaking out, and they're speaking out really because they're afraid. And it really isn't because we're so violent as they want to make it to be. It's because they realize that we are just as good as they are. And with us being just as good as they are, they're going to lose a whole lot of the extra benefits that they possess. For instance, they want to make you think that it's black people that has the majority of the food stamps. And that's just not so.
Not true.
Black people aren't the majority of the food. If black people were the majority of the food stamp provide owners, then they'd cut that out in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
But it's because they're giving it to, it was set up for their people. It's more white people on food stamps than there is black people.
Well,
but
like
the way
like
they
I said,
portray it.
Like I said in the beginning of the show, and again, and I caution or say to everybody, again, and because a black man is speaking his mind, don't look at that as anything other than what it is. And what I mean by that is, again, you look at every government program. None of them were put in place for you. None of them.
Right.
They were put in place to stigmatize you. But none of them were put in place to actually help you. And again, and this is what, again, coming from where we've come from, I say this and please listen to me. I understand how it got like that. Okay, but I'm saying at this point in time, we as a nation should be willing to change that. That's all I'm saying. Again, this ain't anti-white movement. This is just we looking for equality. I'm not looking for my 40 acres and a mule anymore. Okay, I'm not looking for that. I'm just saying level the playing field. If I spit on the sidewalk and I get a 2 years in prison. Well, then when that white gentleman spins the sidewalk, he got to get 2 years also. That's all I'm saying. And that's all mm-hmm. most of Black America is saying. But we understand
but that ain't going to never be like that.
It's not going to be like that.
It won't.
Well, excuse me. It's at least 100 years from now.
Well, it won't be like that because of the main thing. They do not consider themselves equal. They consider themselves better. So because they consider themselves better, it can't be equal. I mean, I remember there was a time. I remember there was a time where you would make $200, and the owner of the company would make $800, and you get $250. The owner would get $850. Do you see what the disparity is now as far as with pay mm-hmm. on a job? It's just designed so that no matter what you think, we might let you get a half a step, but you better believe we're going to take three steps.
Go ahead. Who's somebody got a question?
I wanted to just ask, what does everybody think about the comment that Roseanne Barr made? Is that her name, Roseanne Barr?
Yeah, it
ain't so much about the comment. It's the part that she just felt emboldened to say that because
mm-hmm.
look who the president is once again.
Mm-hmm. But that's not the first time she's made those comments.
No.
When he came out to defend her, he wasn't talking about the comment. He was talking about how it was her right to say that, which it was, though, yes. as opposed to him just saying that's wrong for saying that and thinking like that. But she doing what he doing.
Watch this, and everybody knows, watch this, old school, everybody know that there's a continual war between Roseanne and the chief. Everybody know that. They go at mm-hmm. each other like brother, like angry brothers mm-hmm. and sisters. But now watch this, though.
But he defended
when it comes
her.
Down, yeah, when it comes down to you saying some mean racist shit like you said against that lady, I'm going to defend my white sister. Who I don't like
mm-hmm.
because I don't like her, but I don't like that whole group of people a little bit more. So I'm gonna go ahead and defend
but
Roseanne. And as soon as this is, he didn't exactly defend her, but he
right. But
her
he's got her because he said even worse, so he can't say anything because
yeah.
he said even worse about Black people, and he likes to use that language of calling the immigrants animals. And then at the end, he'll try and make it seem like he's just talking about the gang, M13. But he says it as a whole, those immigrants, they're animals, the M13s. But after he gets finished labeling the whole group of people. And so Trump, I could care less what it is that he said, because he's just as worse. And that, as Baby Boy was saying, he's the one that is encouraging them, and they're falling into line because they do feel threatened. They feel threatened that if they don't put us down, that we're going to take over. Not understanding that is not our goal, to take over. We just want to live a happy, good life just like they do. But they're so afraid that we're going to get the same mentality that they had, and they're afraid that we might end up putting them in slavery. So they're doing everything that they can to stop us, not even understanding that. That's the least of our concerns, trying to put somebody in slavery. I just want to be able to get up in the morning, go to work, and not have to worry about getting shot or getting paid. That's the least of my worries.
Yeah. Again,
yeah, because when he became president, what he did was he came in there and pretty much told them that last president, which was a Black man, what he did was wrong. He ain't know what he was doing. And a lot of people they was feeling like that, and they just got on board with him. That's why he can do whatever he's doing now.
Yeah.
As long as he
something.
Put money in their pocket, they cool with it.
Now, I got to say, and I've always said this, and that man, the president's defense, he told you during the campaign that I'm not right, y'all. I say some wild shit. I do some wild things. I grab asses. I make all kind of racial comments. I make fun of the handicapped, but I still need you to vote for me. And guess what? So you know what? that, on that aspect and that aspect alone, I say, you know what, y'all ask for Donald Trump, again, we all going to suffer. But y'all just going to suffer like we, well, I said, you still ain't suffering to the magnitude that Black America is suffering, but you suffering a little bit. But again, that man came out on his campaign and told you all about the nonsense that he did, and you voted for him. Now it's too late to talk about him. You gonna ride these 4 years
that's
out.
That's just it. They ain't talking about him because pretty much in the big cities, he kind of lost them in some rural areas where they got behind him. They put him in office.
Well, I
there's
I,
not
I
enough of them to put him in the office. There's
people.
Some city people who voted for him too.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying they didn't vote for him, but I'm saying, but it's that where who put him over the top? What state? Them rural states.
Oh, those rural states, but there's city
yeah.
areas in those rural states because it's
yeah.
not
oh,
enough
no,
of the
saying,
ones
yeah.
up in the woods
no.
and.
Yeah,
let me tell you something, man. That man again, he showed his ability to market himself, and again, I don't care. And what we miss is this: I don't care what happens to him tomorrow. Donald Trump can always say, "I was the president." Yeah, that's right. But tell me I ain't the man. But again, but I think that they ought to just, you know what? And it's funny. You know, I'm not going to get on Donald Trump right now. We're going to get back to our subject matter. I almost started to get off topic here.
Let me say this then. Let me say this. Yes, he has, but it still has to do with the racism because they were willing to accept him with all of his different flaws and characteristics, anything, just so that you can make us so that we're great again. It's not about making America great again. It's about making white folks great again. And this is why they step up with the boldness, because they want to be great again. They want to be in charge. They want to feel that they got the authority that they can say who could do what, when, where, and it doesn't even matter.
They want to be the puppet master.
Yes.
That's what they want to be. And what bothers me more than anything else is when I see a Trump rally or something to that nature, and in the back, you got that one black man so happy with Donald Trump. That nothing
yeah,
makes me more
yeah.
madder.
That's
yeah.
a paid endorsement.
Yeah, yeah.
But now, wait a minute. You know, again, we have to understand something. If because I am black, if I'm not raised to understand my culture or my lack thereof, you know, we can't really be mad at that man. I mean, you know what I'm saying? When we see that, if you go follow him, he probably got he might have a Confederate flag across the back of his car. If where he lives, that's what everybody does, that's what he gonna do. So we see that. You know what I'm saying? So when we see that kind of thing, you gotta understand. Sometimes it ain't cause of that. I mean, you know what I'm saying? You're black, and all we see is a black man. But he probably don't have no black friends. He don't have anybody to share with him. What's the bullshit that other black Americans got to go through?
Okay. Well, that's the same thing OJ thought, too.
Yeah. And you know what, though? And they will allow you to think that right up until it's not time to think that anymore. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
OJ,
the same people you meet on the way
up
is the same people you meet on the way down.
Yeah, well, you know, running through the airport, we love you, OJ. When you committed that murder, hey, OJ, we gonna revoke your white card, and remember, use a nigga again.
Same people you meet on the way up is the same people you meet on the way down.
That's why you have to treat folks right, man.
Bottom line.
Yeah, that's the bottom line, man. And again, I would love, man. I sometimes. Again, and I ain't trying to go John Lennon with Imagine, but, you know, I wonder what, I mean, I think we would have an awesome nation. I mean, if we would all put aside everything, man, and just accept people face value, not as groups. If I shit on you, then you don't like me. Don't dislike my whole generation. See, that's just crazy, man. And like I said, with more and more of the interracial dating, marriages, producing of children, again, you're getting that forced black and white mix inside of people, man, that make them now say, wait a minute, I can't just totally not like this person, man, because I am that person.
Here's what's crazy,
you
my
think
brother.
So?
For,
yes, I do.
Here's what's crazy. Here's what's crazy. For this land to be Native American land and for anybody to have the audacity to stand up and tell another group of people to go back from where they came from.
Exactly.
That takes audacity.
Go back to
Africa. How can you tell me to go back somewhere that I've never been and you 90% of the time just got over here from another country? But because you're white, you think that this is your land. You stole and took this land. And you came from somewhere else. 90% of the people. The only original Americans are Indians. And so for anybody to say, make this great again, or this is our land, and they took this or that from us, it's just crazy. How can you say that and not understand the whole complexity of the situation? How can you do it and think that you're right? He want to bring up statistics that they keep to make us look bad. Some of the things we do ourselves, we bring on ourselves, but it's because of the situation that they've got us in. They got us in thinking that it's survive or die. And so they have to live. We have to live by any means necessary. It's not that they really want to. But how can you tell a drug addict stop a dealer? How can you tell him stop dealing drugs and making $2,000 a day and go work at McDonald's? And I'm not blaming McDonald's, but go work there and make $60 a week. When my kid gets out of high school and I can bring him to my job and he making $500 a week just out of high school. And he only going to be here for a couple months because I'm sending him off to college. And that same black man working at that job been working there for 16 years and he ain't bringing home $500 a week. So a lot of this stuff is pushed onto us that we have no choices, either sink or swim. And so this is what we have to do. Don't necessarily say it's right, but it's just what we have to do to survive. Because if I play your game, I can never get anything.
And that's what they want
to
do.
I'm a little wild up right
now,
but I'll be all right. Huh?
Listen,
I'm saying, and that's the game they want you to play. They want you to follow their rules.
Yeah, but again, everybody should have to follow the rules. You know what I'm saying? We're gonna have
everybody.
Rules. Everybody
right.
Follow. Yeah.
Not when you're the one making the rules. See, you get that head, that big head, and then you feel like you ain't got to follow rules. As long as you can keep other people to stay in line and walk that step, you good.
Well, like I said, before we get ready to go around the horns and say our good nights, and excuse me, that 973 caller, the brother who said he don't want to live by black people. Listen, you hung in here for the whole podcast, so I'm going to cut your microphone on, man, and let you get about 30 seconds of closing remarks, because that's just the kind of guy I am. All right?
Do we have
so you got
to?
30.
Do we have to?
Okay, the panel voted not to. He's done.
Please, I'd
okay.
rather not. I'd rather not.
That's cool.
It's right. Nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we got a 404 caller who joined in. Good evening. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, man. I mean, I really can't do much work in the little time you have left. So I would concede the time you were going to give me to the crazy, self-hating Negro who you were going to let
no.
get on.
Wasn't, no. Go ahead.
Even though who I am, I'm just being
no,
messy.
Go ahead, brother. I got 3 minutes for you, man. Go ahead.
No, I mean, let that dude on, because I honestly want to hear it, because I'm fascinated to hear black, like, Trump supporters do the gymnastics
yeah.
on how they believe what they believe. So I always want to hear it.
All right, 973. All right, stand by. Here you go, caller. Come on and talk to us, caller. Come on, 973. I got you. Your microphone is live. You don't have anything to say? All right. Well, we try to be a equal opportunity type podcast.
Hey, you know what I say to that? You know what I say to that? Look at God.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, we got that 614 caller. Go ahead. Let's say our good nights. Is that Sister Purr?
Yes, it is. Good night, everybody.
Okay.
See you at the next one.
Okay.
Good night.
Good night.
Okay.
Later.
Come on, baby. Nurse Carmen, talk to me.
I say good night, my people, and I love you guys.
Baby sis.
Good night, everyone. It was enjoyable, as as always.
Okay. Baby bro. No, I'm sorry, Brother Messenger. Hold on, Brother Messenger.
I say, don't let anybody steal your joy. Know your worth and understand that you're more than a conqueror. And just because they're not enlightened to just who you are, just let your light shine so that they may come to know who you are. God bless you all.
Come on, baby bro. Give us something interesting to end the day with.
Hey, the revolution will not be televised. But then again, in today's social media, it probably will be. It's going to be televised. Let's get with it.
Hey, listen, this is Ken Hodge, producer of Hodge the Hodge Podcast Radio with our best show, The Attic. I just want to say I appreciate everybody for joining again. I'm really excited when we have callers calling in. Because, again, I want to keep it interesting, man. I want to keep our topics popping. I want to talk about how things are perceived through black eyes. I'm not interested in the common eyes of social media. I always try to speak from a black perspective on how that affects me and hopefully other black people. And in the cast of The Attic, that's our approach show. We try to keep it on the real with you. We appreciate you coming out every Wednesday night, 11 o'clock. Please go on Blog Talk Radio and follow the show. Again, help me grow the business because, again, we want to keep an entertaining hourly podcast out that provides some facts and a lot of laughter. Tonight we have more facts than laughter, but I'm sure next Wednesday we'll be back to our normal format. So with that being said, to the whole podcast audience, I say good evening. And remember, if Hodge the Hodge podcast isn't on your radio, then your radio just isn't on.
Go ahead, Frankie. Go ahead, Frankie.
I'm sorry, man. Hold on. Oh, the crowd, they won't stop clapping, man. You like that? Oh, the people love that, man. Yeah. Hey, listen, man. We got a minute and 30 seconds left to go. But, hey, good show. And again, watch this. They get to hear. We this is our own little online blooper reel right now.
Somebody like to sing us out? Sing
one of them old Negro hymns. So sing us out. Hey, you know what? And we got to talk about that, man. You know what? How do you think about next show, maybe the black national anthem becoming the national anthem of the nation? Because there ain't no racial
It'll
lines
never
in
happen. That. It'll never happen.
I know. They'll get
hey,
a new
where's
song.
Sunshine, you there?
Sunshine. Oh, you know what? I must have missed it. I might have missed it. We had a lot of callers in here tonight, y'all. I think our call table was up to about maybe 10, 12 people.
She was the one that was arguing with that brother.
That was her?
Oh, okay.
That was
was
she? That was Sister Sunshine.
I thought
yes,
that was
right.
You.
Oh, okay.
No, that
no,
wasn't
that
me.
Was Sunshine. Yeah,
oh,
that
yeah.
Was
okay.
You know
what?
Yeah.
So, well, let me go like the audience from Good Times. Right on.
I got to call her and apologize to her. I didn't put, Nurse Carmen, I thought that was you.
Yes, my love.
I did.
That wasn't me. No.
All right.
No.
Call
we sound alike, Kenneth?
I'm still oh, do. Yeah. Every time I hear her voice, I think of Wanda anyway, but oh, that's another show. Hey, good night, everybody. We talked it out.
Hey,
we're
I,
gonna,
sent, you,
go,
hey, I sent you her text. I sent you her number so you could text her.
Okay.
Yeah, tell her I
remember
much
that
love.
Message.
Yeah,
yeah,
much love, man. Because yeah. I'm
tell
serious.
Her much
I thought
love.
That was fun. All right. Peace out.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Yeah. All right. Good night.